Mazzara and Parra project to Alimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
It's the All-Star break, so let's talk about fantasy All-Stars. At each position, who has stood out, who has outperformed their draft position from the preseason. Welcome, everybody. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. Now, you're hearing this, most likely you're hearing this on Tuesday, the 12th of July, but we are recording this on Monday, the 11th of July. Second podcast we're doing today. I told you guys we'd have a Tuesday show.
You were right.
Yeah.
I told you whatever you said we would do because you're the boss.
Yeah, it's not exactly true, but I guess it's a little true when it comes to podcasts, right?
Yeah. I think it's 100% true.
Okay, good. It's a little power trip for me. I enjoyed it. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, Scott White here. We don't know what happened in the Home Run Derby because, again, we're doing this at 2 p.m. Eastern time on Monday afternoon. So we're going to go through the Fantasy All-Star team. Now, there is a column out on CBSSports.com with the group
definitive
effort.
The definitive All-Star Fantasy All-Star team.
Okay. Think of it as like the AP poll of All-Star teams because it combines votes from Heath, Scott, Chris Towers, and Al Melchior.
Yeah,
you can see. Now, we also have the individual ballots because we're transparent here, the individual ballots of Heath and Scott to talk about and see what's different.
They're too similar. I'm irritated by it. I should have voted for different people.
They are quite similar. When you gave me the two lists, I thought it was like almost a joke. It's almost exactly the same.
It is.
Well, I mean,
I should have been different.
Well, why would you want to throw off the results like that? What I wanted from this was it to be the final team to be kind of a representative view of the fantasy season today, and I think it's accomplished that. I mean, you know, the idea behind this was not strictly who's the best at the position because, you know, you can just go to the sortable stats page and see that, and not entirely just value picks either, but the idea was to find the most consequential player at every position. And what I mean by that is taking performance and taking value, which player at each position is most responsible for the good teams being good. And I think we've come up with a pretty good representation of that.
Okay, good. So let's get right to it. Also, if we have time, we have some trades to grade and emails to read at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Now's a really good time to send some emails. Put baseball podcast or something related to that in the subject line, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. The catcher on our fantasy all-star team is Wilson Ramos. Ramos is the number three catcher in points leagues behind Posey and Lucroy. Number two in roto leagues behind Buster Posey. Having a career season with a .330 batting average, Ramos has never hit higher than .278, and that was in 2010 in 22 games as a rookie. So he's never hit more than 16 home runs. He has 13. And, of course, those 16 came in 78 games. I'll stop talking about Wilson Ramos. Why don't you guys tell me about what you expect rest of season? I think that's the most important takeaway here. What's legit? Wilson Ramos, how legit is this?
I think it's mostly legit. I mean, in terms of him hitting .330, that's probably not going to continue all season. I mean, his BABIP's .344, and obviously he's not, like most catchers, not so fleet of foot. So you wouldn't expect it to be such an above average BABIP, but because he's hitting .330, he can afford to lose a good number of points on that BABIP and still be a very high average catcher. Really cut down on his strikeouts rate this year to the point that it's, you know, his contact hitting is just off the charts and has always had power. So I feel like he's kind of a less hyped version of Jonathan Lucroy, maybe even with a little more power, and I expect him to remain that.
Yeah, I don't know that I expect anything that he's done in the first half to completely translate to the second half, just because, yes, he's always had some power, but he's got a career 160 ISO. I mean, it's not like he's a certified 25 to 30 home run guy. He has had a couple of years where he looked like he could possibly do that once. Maybe this is the year he does it. I think it's more likely he hits somewhere around 290 in the second half with maybe 8 to 10 home runs.
Which would still probably make him a top three catcher.
It's possible that it would.
Yeah.
Now, remember, Wilson Ramos had LASIK surgery in the offseason, and he said that made a big difference for him. Also, Heath, you have Salvador Perez ranked one spot ahead of Ramos in your Roto rankings.
Right.
Scott, you have Ramos ahead of Perez. You know, Scott has Ramos 3, and Heath Cummings has him 4. Oh, no, you also have McCann ahead. So you have Ramos 5. So Posey, Lucroy, McCann, Perez, Ramos. What do you think? You know, Perez, usually pretty bad in the second half. You'd still take him over Ramos
at
this point?
Yeah, and it kind of looked like we were going to see him once again fall off a little before the All-Star game. He was in quite a funk until about a week ago.
Yeah, he had a big week.
And then he just caught fire again.
Perez, that is.
Yes, I think that, I mean, if I had to project, Perez is going to get more at-bats than Ramos is in the second half. Perez is going to hit more home runs than Ramos is in the second half. I wouldn't expect Perez to hit for quite as good of an average, but I don't think it'll be that far apart. Now, you mentioned specifically in Roto. In points leagues, I could understand the argument for putting Ramos ahead of Perez. I don't think it's likely to happen in Roto.
Okay. Then we go to first base, and Will Myers is the pick from Scott. Will Myers is the pick from Heath, and Will Myers is the pick on the consensus fantasy squad, which is the same as Wilson Ramos. So far, no disagreement here. But Myers,
yeah, that was a runaway vote, by the way.
Yes,
nobody picked him anything but first at first base.
Same for Ramos.
That's true.
Number 4. In points leagues at first base, number 2 in Roto. Myers is 25 years old, batting .286 with 19 home runs and 15 steals. And, you know, he had more walks than strikeouts in June. He is down to 5 walks to 13 strikeouts in July. Here's a weird split. Myers is amazing at home. .339, .392, .644. Terrible on the road. .226, .306, .384. Not sure if you make anything of that.
That's super weird.
Yeah. Heath, how legit do you think Will Myers' first half is?
Well, I mean, for all the people that were naysayers in the winter of 2014 about why would the Royals trade away Will Myers, he could be a superstar. He is delivering exactly what those people thought he could be. And so that's one thing that makes me a little bit more confident in him maintaining this level of production versus Wilson Ramos, because there was a time where we thought this is what Will Myers would be. I mean, he looks like a 30-30 guy right now. I'm not sure that he'll steal that many bases in the second half, because this is kind of uncharacteristic for what he's done throughout his career, and he never even really had a huge steal total in the minors. But I believe the power. The .286 average is just about in line with what I would expect from him. I think he's legit. I think he's probably more like a top 6 or 7 first baseman in the second half than a top 2, but that's still really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the speed was really not something. It's probably gone overlooked even now, having 15 steals and 18 attempts to this point. But really, the only way I could see Myers falling off is if falling off in a major way is if the home run pace slows, because right now, I mean,
yeah,
because so many of his batted balls are out of play, they're home runs, the BABIP's fine, the batting average doesn't look like it's going to drop at all, so yeah, it seems like a legitimate breakthrough.
I mean I think the one thing I would say about that with Ramos and with Myers, the thing that has held both of these players back is a pretty extensive injury history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often said that the greatest predictor of future injuries is past injuries. So that is probably the most likely thing to derail either one of them.
Now, you say how good and how legit Will Myers is going to be, and how he is and what he will be. At what point do you move him ahead of Joey Votto and or Jose Abreu in your first base rankings?
Soon.
Probably not for me.
I may have. No, not. I haven't moved him ahead of Abreu yet. I've been tempted to. I feel like their shortcomings are similar. Neither walks a ton, But Myers a little more, and he has the speed. He just doesn't have the track record Abreu does. Votto's going to be... There's just no other player like Votto who walks as much as he does and still hits for power. And that's gonna be much harder to do.
But. I'm going to do a rankings overhaul over the All-Star break. I have Myers right now as the 11th first baseman, which I guess surprisingly is the highest. I could see he's gonna move up a little, maybe as high as 8th.
All right, second base in the Fantasy All-Stars is a mistake, I tells ya.
Oh, a mistake. It was unanimous. Another unanimous vote, Adam. Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, listen, it's a bit of a technicality because I know the person that I would put as the Fantasy All-Star at second base is the person that Scott put at third base, and that's Daniel Murphy. So Jose Altuve is our Fantasy All-Star at second. He's the number 2 second baseman in points. Oh, nope. He's the number 2 hitter in points.
Yes. That's the key.
Number 1 in Roto. He's number 1 second baseman, obviously, in both formats. And he's been a lot better than Robinson Cano and Daniel Murphy. But I would put Murphy there just because, you know, it's splitting hairs. But Altuve was a second-round draft pick, and Murphy obviously wasn't even close to that.
No, he wasn't. And the way we did the voting, because you mentioned it's a technicality, since I have Murphy at third base. I also had Murphy as my second choice at second base. We were allowed to vote for player everywhere he qualified, and if he happened to win at two different positions, well, the one that he won at by the most is the one he'd take. So that's even taking into account that Daniel Murphy is second base eligible. Altuve is still the top pick. I can't forget points leagues for a second. I mean, obviously he's great there, second player overall, but in roto leagues, the combination of batting average, power, and speed that he has contributed makes it, if your team is adequate, just adequate everywhere else, you're probably in the hunt right now. As scarce as stolen bases are,
right,
you're probably in the hunt just because of Jose Altuve. That's MVP. That was a clutch pick, whether it was late first round, early second round. Jose Altuve has made your season.
Well, yeah, because I think, I mean, you talk about batting average, home runs, and speed, and then what are the other categories? Runs, well, he's going to score, what, 120 runs this year?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's going to drive in 90 runs this year? When was the last time we had a guy hit 20 home runs with 120 runs, 90 RBI, 40 stolen bases, and a 340 hitter?
Here's one thing I'd say, though, about Altuve. I don't know how... Okay. You look at his season, right? His first 29 games, Altuve hit 9 home runs. 60 games since then, he's hit 5 or 6. Five.
Okay.
And he's still, I mean, look, he's still been great in that stretch. But in those 60 games, he's the number 11 hitter in points leagues and number 13 in Roto, which is kind of what people expected when they drafted him.
So if you take out his best games, he's only a top 12
but no,
player.
But what I'm saying is you take out his unexpected power surge at the beginning of the season, and he's been much more like the Jose Altuve we've seen in the past. Great batting average, steals, all that stuff, but not as much power. And maybe he plays like that for the rest of the season, and those first 29 games are just an anomaly.
I understand that argument. Jose Altuve wasn't just my pick at second base. We had to send in our MVPs as well, and he was my fantasy MVP for the first half. And while I don't necessarily disagree with what you said about the second half, it doesn't matter when you're choosing an All-Star game.
No, it doesn't. So we're forward thinking here. I totally fine with the pick, and I get it. But what I'm asking is, because you talked about his pace, and he's going to drive in this many runs and whatever, but I don't know that he's going to hit for as much power, so maybe that affects the RBIs.
When I talked about his pace, though, I only said 20 home runs, which would just be 6 more the rest of the season.
Oh, well, probably get there.
Yeah, and that RBI total, while the home runs could knock it down, he's also moved down to the middle of the order. He's hitting third now instead of leadoff like he did for a good part of the early part of the season. So I think his RBI totals will be pretty safe.
He has 32 RBIs in those 60 games after the big power surge at the start of the year.
Which is an 80 RBI pace.
Yeah, not bad.
I don't know that he's just going to regress to his usual home run rate. Well, first of all, how many home runs did he hit last year? 15?
Yeah.
So it's not like he was a bad home run hitter prior to this year. Obviously is ahead of pace because of that great April. His hard contact percentage is still the highest it's ever been by a significant margin this season. Trying to find his average fly ball distance.
But everything you're giving us is going to include the April.
It is. I can't really shorten this to a smaller
window. It's so hard for me to even have this argument. I just didn't want to have a podcast where it's like, hey, Jose Altuve is great. No, let's move on. I just thought I'd try to bring something up that maybe value him more like top 10 hitter rather than top 2 hitter. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
Well, if you want to have an argument, we're getting ready to get there.
Yeah, I don't. Uh-huh. And I don't know.
This next position.
Well, I still don't know that I can agree that he's only top 10. Because even if, let's say he's just the home run hitter he was last year, rest of way. Could happen. I don't have a strong argument against that. But elite batting average guy, elite steals guy.
Yeah.
And there are so few steals guys, period. Like, I feel like that's going to keep him in the top five rest of season, at least in Roto. Now, in head-to-head, where you don't need steals, you don't need batting average, you just need production any way you can get it, maybe he does drop.
Well, there's a pretty good chance he's the best in baseball in two different categories and top five and a third.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Let's move on. Do the arguments begin at third base? Our third base all-star on the website, the consensus all-star, is Jake Lamb, who has been amazing this year with 20 home runs and a .291 batting average while sitting against lefties most of the time. Scott voted for Daniel Murphy. Heath voted for Josh Donaldson. All right, let's fight it out.
Yeah,
let's duke
those
it out
other
here.
Twerps.
Well, I thought if we were going to have an all-star team, we might want to include the guy that scored the most fantasy points in all of fantasy baseball. So I voted for that guy.
I can't argue with that logic.
No, you can't. And Josh Donaldson was my second choice at third base. Jake Lamb was actually my third choice. So
we can blame this one on Alan, Chris.
Yeah. And technically Murphy and Lamb tied. It's just Lamb had more first place votes. Chris and Al both made him first at third base. So that was the tiebreaker over Murphy. I get the arguments for and against Donaldson. He is the number one third baseman by such a large gap in points leagues, like a 50-point gap almost.
It's pretty identical to Altuve at second base.
Right. So the difference is, well, there are a couple differences. Altuve's impact in roto leagues is so significant that he gets a lot of bonus points there. And Donaldson was the fourth player drafted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Altuve was a second rounder. So
here's my main problem with Lamb, who has been fantastic. I just kind of feel like it's looking at this was his average draft position. These are his season long stats. He's the MVP. When at what point did we start starting Jake Lamb in points leagues?
It's a good point.
But isn't that kind
very
of
very recently?
Isn't that kind of the argument against Will Myers? Because he got off to a slow start.
Well, I think the difference. One difference there is that first base, there wasn't a lot of players to get excited about this category anyway. There weren't a lot of the high achievers were the ones everyone expected them to be, except Will Myers, basically, and Mark Trumbo, who, you know, we'll get to him later. But third base, a lot of competition here, considering Daniel Murphy didn't even win. And Daniel Murphy has a career high in home runs here at the All-Star break and is batting .350, and he's not even starting on the team. That is a crime.
Yeah.
A tragedy.
I agree. So I guess that means, does Daniel Murphy knock out Josh Donaldson or does he knock out Jose Altuve? And I think I would agree with Scott there. Well, I don't know Heath's stance there, but if I had to put one of them ahead of Daniel Murphy, it would be Altuve. In other words, I think Altuve is a more deserving All-Star than Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot agree with that. I think that the right All-Star team has Donaldson and Altuve, personally.
Well,
but
that's fine, but
that would be an impossible fantasy team unless it's an auction league. That couldn't have happened.
So yeah. What? That's part of the criteria too?
No,
not at all. He just brought that up for no reason at all.
No, you said the right fantasy team would have both, and that fantasy team doesn't exist.
The right All-Star team.
The right All-Star team. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I just wonder if we were really, and there probably is this data available somewhere. I'll have to go hunting for it, but what is the record of Daniel Murphy owners? Cause he has been so dominant from the very start of the season, unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, unlike Myers and Lamb, he was drafted early enough that it's likely he has been in an owner starting lineup from the very beginning. So they've gotten credit for all of it.
Actually, yeah. If they listened to us, he was probably sold by the guy that drafted him in May.
Right. I mean, the general public liked him more than we did.
Right.
And they were right.
Well, and Heath, you were the one who was saying, I don't really buy it with Murphy, but he did have that second half power breakout last year.
I was kind of saying that just to troll you because this was the one guy we weren't buying his second half production.
Yeah.
But it worked out okay.
So Daniel Murphy made an adjustment with the Mets last year with Kevin Long, and it led to more power, led to him hitting the ball with more authority, maybe being less selective and just kind of going for it. And so far it's worked, and Murphy is, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's been amazing as we know. Now, obviously, we're buying Donaldson. Murphy is batting .348 with 17 home runs and 66 RBIs. We're buying Donaldson. There's no question about that. Lamb and Murphy, though, if one of them was going to disappoint in the second half, who would you choose between Lamb and Murphy?
I think I'd have to choose Lamb. He's still, I mean, the biggest reason is he's still not playing every day. He's still out of the lineup against most left-handed starters.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised he ranks as high as he does based on that.
I think part of the reason is because when we noticed this earlier, he seems to play in every single game, almost.
Yeah, he does seem to come off the bench when he doesn't start.
When he doesn't play, he's still getting plate appearances.
He did start against a lefty on Sunday, by the way. I don't know what that was all about. I wish we had more of a trend before going into the All-Star break.
But still, I mean, even considering that, you look at all the third basemen ranked around him. Their at-bats are in the 330 to 340 range. He's 289. So, I mean, he trails them in pure opportunity and will continue to. He's going to have to continue to slug around 600 to remain a top 12 third baseman.
Right. That's the thing. Like, you look at Will Myers, right? And he's not putting up ridiculous numbers. He's having a great year, but it's not like, whoa, how's he doing this? Jake Lamb is doing too well.
I don't think Daniel Murphy or Jake Lamb are going to match their first half numbers in the second half.
I know, but Lamb is slugging .613.
Murphy's slugging .598, and I believe with
a .348 batting average, though, like the ISO for Lamb is insane,
right? Which I don't really think is that sustainable either.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jake Lamb's going to have a higher slugging percentage than Daniel Murphy in the second half.
Okay. Who's going to have a higher batting average?
I would guess
I don't
Murphy
know that
will.
I can agree with that. So you would sell high on both?
I hate to say that I would sell high on both.
Yeah.
Just because I think they're both still going to be very good in the second half.
Okay.
But I think Lamb's going to give you more power in the second half. He gave you more power in the first half. And I would guess Murphy's going to have a better batting average, but both will be relatively close.
I really can't imagine trading Murphy unless it was, I'm getting a position I need more. I think he is.
Would you trade him for Will Myers?
Only if I really needed a first baseman or outfielder more than a second or third baseman.
Because Will Myers has outscored him in points leagues, and I'm sure he's been much better in Roto.
But
those steals.
Murphy has such a high floor just because he hardly ever strikes out. Particularly in that format, he has a high floor. So if you buy the power surge, and it didn't just start this year, as everybody who paid attention to the postseason knows, and there are actual explanations for how the power surge came about. I'm having a hard time doubting it. Then there's floor and upside there. While Lamb, obviously, not just the at-bats issue, but he strikes out a lot. So I think that lowers his floor even further. So I do consider Lamb just to sell high, just flatly. Obviously I'm not going to sell him for anything, but if I could get something else really good, I don't see why you couldn't do Lamb for Myers straight up potentially. And I would love to do that.
Do you want me to do my impression of the Royals announcer calling like a Daniel Murphy postseason home run?
Go ahead.
Yes, please.
High fly ball, deep right field. That's going to be a grand slam home run. And the Mets have just won the National League Championship Series. They're going to the World Series. Go crazy, folks. Touch them all, Daniel Murphy. You'll never hit a bigger home run. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. That was
beautiful.
Boring Royals radio announcer.
Yeah, you are not in the Hall of Fame, Adam.
Not yet.
Man, I criticized Pokemon Go today on Twitter.
This is important. We should talk about
what
this.
What is going on with Pokemon? Why is everybody talking about Pokemon?
Because this app came out and everybody's obsessed with it. I've never even played it before, so I don't. My opinion is illegitimate.
The most popular app in the world, by the way.
What is it? I don't get it.
Well, you walk outside, and on your little screen on your phone, when you have the app,
it tells you where to find Pokemon, and you have to go find them.
But you find them in the street, or, you know, if you're near water, there'll be water Pokemon, and you see them on your phone, and you catch them. But, so they're like, the app makes it seem as if they're really in the world around you. It's like a virtual reality thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. But they're not.
Well, of course not.
I don't have any criticism of adults playing this game. I play silly games on my phone. If you want to play silly games on your phone, that's fine. I have a lot of questions about the safety of this game for kids.
Hmm. Well, I just play Candy Crush all the time. Like, all the time. It's really fun.
This is better than that, actually, because you actually have to move to play it.
I don't want to move. That's the point of
it. Have you played it, Heath?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Well, you said it's better. Like you.
Well, you have to move.
I don't mind people playing it either. I'm just getting tired of hearing about it.
Like, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Well, I knew this would happen. We spend so much time on just a few, and then we have to speed up for the rest. So let's speed up a little bit. Let's recap, though. The Fantasy All-Stars, according to CBSSports.com, Ramos, Will Myers, Jose Altuve, and Jake Lamb. However, Heath would have put Josh Donaldson at third base. Scott would have put Daniel Murphy at third base. Mm-hmm. So that means Ian Desmond is our fantasy all-star at short, and no disagreement from these two guys, Desmond for both Heath and for Scott. And last week, I think we talked about him as a potential sell-high candidate because the BABIP is so high. He's still striking out a lot. But, you know, I don't know how much this matters to you, but Ian Desmond at home, OPS over 1,000. On the road, still good, but not great. 271, 340, 459. And actually, if you let me expand just a little bit, it seems like the only difference between home and road is the batting average, because he's played 46 games on the road, 43 at home, Ian Desmond. And at home, 8 home runs. On the road, 7 home runs. Both places, 11 doubles and 1 triple. And at home, 7 steals, and on the road, 8 steals. So basically the same exact stats, except for he's batting 100 points higher at home than he is on the road.
I would like to take some credit for this, because I harped all off season on how Ian Desmond had gotten worse every year since 2012, and it was true. And obviously Desmond listens to the podcast and decided to be more like he was in 2012, and he's doing a fine job.
But even he's probably doing a lot better than he was in 2012.
Well, if you look at the counting stats in 2012, he only played 130 games, and he still went 25-21 with 72 runs and 73 RBI.
Okay.
So, and he had a 330 BABIP as opposed to a 402. So some of that's luck.
Do you think Ian Desmond will have a 28-28 season, which is probably what he's on pace? He's 15-15 right now.
No.
Probably going to fall a little short of that, yeah.
I would guess he has a 25-24 season.
Could there be a big second half swoon coming?
There could be. I wouldn't predict a big one. Obviously, that there's going to have to be some normalization on that 402 BABIP.
Yeah. And that could come in the form of an 0-for-20.
It could. But I think, I think he's shown he's not, like, at the end of his career on the verge of collapse like we feared coming into the season. But I still think, like, his best couple years with the Nationals, that's really what Desmond is in his pure essence of Ian Desmond. I like those two seasons. So yeah, performing over his head here. Been great, obviously, to this point, and probably will be a top 7-8 shortstop rest of the way, but that means some regression still.
What is the Zoolander quote that you just reminded me of?
I don't know.
Moisture is the essence of wetness.
Yes.
And wetness is the essence of beauty.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. I think that's exactly what it is, as I'm reading it straight from Google. All right. After shortstop, we've got some outfielders here. Mark Trumbo is on the list. Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley. Trumbo, Mookie Betts, and Jackie Bradley. Also, Scott wanted Marcelo Zuna on there. And Heath, these were your three, right? Betts, Bradley, Trumbo?
Yeah, the idea that we weren't going to have Mookie Betts on our All-Star team was just sad.
But not according to Scott.
Thankfully, it came through. He's there. We've got two of the top three fantasy baseball players this season on our All-Star team, just missing Josh Donaldson.
Now, for Betts, I'm pretty sure you guys feel like it's legit.
Oh, yeah.
What about the other two? What about Donaldson and Trumbo? I'm sorry.
Bradley.
Bradley and Trumbo.
I have not really known what to make of Mark Trumbo. I mean, obviously, even less so of Jackie Bradley. I would expect Bradley is more likely to regress than Trumbo. I mean, this is a guy that's always been a good power hitter. He's in a great power hitter's park. I don't think he's going to hit 50 home runs. But I could see 270 with another 20 homers. Man, that gets him to 50. Yeesh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would bet against him getting to 52. So there's just kind of some, like, unless you think he's that good, he's just law of averages says he has to regress, right? Yes. And I don't think he's that good, so.
You know, it's worth noting for Trumbo that it's not just a Camden Yards thing. He's basically got identical numbers home and road, except his on-base percentage is much better at home. He's got a very bad walk-to-strikeout ratio on the road and much better at home. But the slugging percentage within 17 points of each other, the batting average within 3 points of each other. So,
well, and if you wonder how he's doing it, he's hitting more fly balls than he ever has in his career. He's hitting less, or he's hitting the ball harder than he ever has in his career. He's making less soft contact.
And his home run to fly ball ratio.
And he's healthy.
Career high.
And he's healthy, which he hasn't been in a long time. It kind of reminds me of Nelson Cruz when he joined the Orioles a couple years ago. And hasn't been the same since. He was always banged up, showed good power, but not so much that we thought he was going to be the fantasy stud we now know him to be.
But who would you guys rather have, Nelson Cruz or Mark Trumbo?
Cruz. It's clearly a track record there that Trumbo doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I see the parallels there, and the fact that Trumbo hasn't slowed up any yet gives me some pause when I say I think he's going to regress.
How about Ryan Braun or Mark Trumbo?
Braun.
Yeah, I've still got Braun higher. I've got Trumbo, I think, right around the 22nd or 23rd outfielder.
Mm. I mean, that's just so interesting considering how good he's been.
Right. No, I understand. He may go up a little more in my next rankings overhaul.
Is it even a question to take McCutchen or Trumbo? You guys going to say McCutchen?
Yeah, I'll say McCutchen.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, not with a lot of conviction, but.
All right. Well, how about Jackie Bradley or Mark Trumbo? Who do you like better?
Trumbo.
See, part of me feels like Trumbo has to regress. Bradley could legitimately be this good.
Yeah, you could say that he's already regressed.
Yeah, he's already started regressing.
But he hasn't been bad. So in the 33 game. All right. So last year, Bradley had this amazing stretch. It was unbelievable. And then he was horrible after that. This year, he had a little over a month, April 24th to the end of May, nearly 1,200 OPS, 379, 465, 726 slugging with 9 home runs in 34 games. Since then, batting only 244, but 333 on base, 472 slugging, 5 home runs, 4 steals, 9 doubles, 2 triples. It's not, you know, batting .244, you could do a lot worse with a .244 batting average. And in July, Bradley's batting .306 with a .333 on base, .472 slugging. So it's not like he's fallen off the cliff like he did last year. I think it's encouraging that even while hitting .244 in those 33 games, he's still finding ways to hit, get extra base hits and be, you know, pretty productive.
Yeah. Is there a sharp contrast in Roto versus head to head where Bradley shows up in the rankings?
Not a huge one. He's 10th in points and he's 13th in Roto overall.
Okay.
What were you expecting?
Well, since he's not a big base stealer and since he does get so many doubles, I thought maybe he would be higher in head-to-head and be more that a player geared more for that format.
Yeah, I think the problem is like he's not a big base stealer, but he's got 7. Mm-hmm. If you steal 13 or 14 bases, you're above average.
And he's of course has a high batting average, which that's the part of his skill set I question the most, just the batting average. Is he the 300 hitter he's shown to be, or is he more of a 280 guy? And I would bet the latter. But is there going to be enough of all the other little things to make up for it?
Well, and I still question the power a little bit. I mean, I know he's done it now for almost a full season, but we had a full season in the majors where he had no power, and we had 3 or 4 years in the minors where he had good, but not anywhere close to this power.
Yeah.
All right, the last thing I'm going to look up with Jackie Bradley is where he ranks in Roto. I just don't have time to look up in both formats. Since June 1st, basically in that stretch where he's hitting .244. And I'll tell you that in just a second, but I'll give you some names. Jackie Bradley or Michael Saunders rest of season.
Bradley.
Justin Upton or Jackie Bradley?
Bradley.
Ooh.
That's tough. I'm going to lean Bradley.
Bradley or Bradley or Carlos Beltran?
Bradley.
Bradley.
All right. All right, guys, we have about 10 minutes left. Talk about your pitchers. So, oh, by the way, David Ortiz is the DH on the All-Star team.
We didn't even have a vote for that.
No need to.
We forgot to vote, so we just made him the DH.
Oh, I didn't forget. I remembered, but then said, this will be fun if I don't even let them vote because it'll be so obvious.
Johnny Cueto, Clayton Kershaw, Aaron Sanchez, and Noah Syndergaard are your 4 starting pitchers on the All-Star team. Cueto, Kershaw, Aaron Sanchez, and Noah Syndergaard. Did you guys have any differences there? Anybody that you wanted on the squad that didn't get there?
The funny thing was that Scott had already made his selections, and I was doing... Actually, I don't have any differences either. These were my top four starting pitchers. But I was... We were talking about how Ian Desmond being the starter at shortstop was kind of funny because I was so down on him coming into this year. And I said, well, Cueto is my number one starting pitcher, so I'm getting you back, Scott. And Scott said, oh, I've got to put Johnny Cueto in my top 5 starting pitchers. I've got to make a change to the rankings. Yeah. He's been phenomenal. And where was he drafted? 3rd or 4th round at the earliest?
Oh, later.
5th or 6th. Number 2 starting pitcher in fantasy.
Yeah, 2 in points, 3 in Roto.
Just doing everything you could ask.
Except getting a lot of strikeouts. But those are only valuable up to a point.
Cueto was the 22nd pitcher off the board, according to Fantasy Pros. His average draft position was 72nd overall.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. And he was my second choice. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say the strikeouts are important, and since I'm captain strikeouts... But he's pretty close to 8 strikeouts per 9, which is not good by any means. It's okay, whatever. But when you're on pace to throw 250 innings, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get you all the strikeouts.
Right. Right. It's more a question of, is he really as unhittable as he's shown? But he's done this before, so I'm inclined to buy it.
Right.
For the most part. I don't think he's going to be 2nd in the long run. I have him right around 11th or 12th in my rankings, but whatever, he's an ace, you know.
This is funny. Where do you think Cueto ranks in strikeouts this season?
Top 10, I guess.
He's 15th.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Like, that's the one thing he's not been good at, and he's still 15th.
Okay. I actually had a couple different players in my personal pitching staff here. Steven Wright, who has slid a good bit.
Yeah. Because I wanted to talk about Steven Wright because I heard Heath talk about how the pixie dust has worn off on Steven Wright. Is that right?
I did say that it's quite possible the pixie dust has worn off on Steven Wright, yes.
Okay. All right, Scott.
You only get so much pixie dust.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Scott, but I'm so glad you mentioned it because there was one important thing I wanted to say about Wright, but you could go ahead and give your thought.
Well, I mean, obviously he's slid a little in the last couple starts here, so doesn't look like as big of a standout, but for a while I was saying he's the one out of nowhere breakout that I felt like we could trust in starting pitcher.
Nope.
still been a mainstay in fantasy pitching staffs, and for good reason. John Lackey was the other one I added, and he's also slid a bit here. But I mean, how many pitchers give you wins, innings, and strikeouts like Lackey does? You know, he's not somebody I'm seriously considering about benching.
Well, he's given up a lot of home runs lately.
I'm sorry, what was that?
He's given up a lot of home runs lately, John Lackey. I think that was the concern with him leaving a really good ballpark and going to Wrigley, but it hasn't really mattered where he's pitched. He's just been kind of off lately.
Yeah, and if he ends up being a poor man's Corey Kluber, so be it. I mean, that's still a must-start pitcher.
Oh, Corey Kluber didn't make your fantasy all-star team, guys, huh?
Well, he's a second-round pick, third at the lowest.
And he's been
what's your important thing you want to say about Steven Wright?
I just wanted to point out one thing about Wright, and I thought when I was listening back to the podcast that I was not on, I thought Wright had only had two bad starts in a row. It's been three, so that changes things a little bit. But two of them were against the Rangers, and one of them was against the Angels. And in that start against the Angels, he was doing great. He was cruising along, and then it started raining, and he had trouble. And that kind of makes sense to me, you know? And I could see where his knuckleball wouldn't be knuckling because he can't grip it properly because of the rain. And in that inning, C.J. Cron hit a grand slam. But five scoreless innings, I believe, before before it started really raining and before he struggled badly. You know, the fact that there have been two other bad starts hurts my argument, but I did want to bring that up because I think it might be relevant.
Well, the one thing I wanted to look at, and I haven't looked back too much. It's too small of a sample size, but like he is pretty greatly outperforming his peripherals so far this year.
But he's a knuckleballer.
Well, I understand that, but I don't know that that's just an answer for he's a knuckleballer, he's going to outperform his peripherals, or peripherals don't matter because he throws the ball. It doesn't seem to me that that should really change anything. Like, I wouldn't think that a knuckleball would make your BABIP absolutely lower. I wouldn't think that a knuckleball would make your strand rate any higher. I wouldn't think it would lower your home runs any.
But he doesn't give up a lot of home runs, right? And that's kind of what I fear with knuckleballers is that they're going to give up they're going to make just a few bad pitches and those pitches leave the ballpark.
This is the thing. Knuckleballers are always going to have higher than average walk rates. They're always going to have lower than average strikeout rates, but it's very hard to square up a knuckleball. So
when it's doing what it's supposed to, I did look, R.A. Dickey has consistently outperformed his peripherals. Tim Wakefield, not so much.
No.
I mean, I think it's just like any other pitcher. If the knuckleball is going really well, then yeah, maybe you could have a low BABIP, but I don't.
But Dickey is a good example because Dickey's given up like 20 home runs this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Wright has given up seven, but the key is four of them have come in his last five starts.
Well, and I mean, and he had a 12% home run to fly ball rate last year, and he's got a 6% home run to fly ball rate this year. Which one's the true Steven Wright? I don't know.
Yeah.
When the knuckleball isn't knuckling like it should, it leads to home runs.
When maybe someone runs out of pixie dust to put on the knuckleball.
No, I don't think it's just going to disappear and not come back. It'll disappear from time to time and he'll give up some home runs, have a crooked line maybe if they don't pull him out soon enough. And, then he'll live to fight another day.
Yeah. I think what's fun in fantasy and also difficult is when a guy like John Lester, I know we talked about him a lot on Monday's show. When he has two bad starts, we can just say, all right, whatever, it's two bad starts. When a guy like Steven Wright has three bad starts, it's hard to just dismiss it because he doesn't have the track record. But also, even when these amazing breakout candidates, you know, these breakouts happen, they're players like everybody else. We have to allow them to slump. It happens to everyone, almost everyone, you know, maybe not Kershaw, but it happens to just about everyone. It happened to Bryce Harper for a long stretch of time. But if it happened to Will Myers, we might be like, oh, see, I knew it was fool's gold. You know what I mean? So
sure.
It's just, that's such a difficult thing in fantasy to know if it's just a slump or to know if it, or to guess if it's, you know, something more major.
Yep.
And we'll find out.
Well, and as much as Scott and I have disagreed on Stephen Wright, I just went to look and we both got him 41st in our starting pitcher rankings the rest of the year. So yeah, like everything else.
Our fantasy closer is Zach Britton, and we will end the show, because he's awesome, with emails from John in Detroit. Am I right to be concerned about Jung Ho Gong? His playing time has seemed sporadic recently, and Gong has been slumping. Plus, there's this sexual assault scandal going on. Is Jung Ho Gong's value dropping?
I know nothing about the I know of the investigation, right, but I don't think we can speculate on that.
No, but does it factor at all into, you know, how you view him in fantasy? Are you worried about a suspension?
I have a hard, really hard time worrying about a suspension when the team's allowing him to play through the process.
Okay, yeah.
I have to assume they know more than I do. Maybe they don't.
Yeah, plus it takes a while for these things to happen. But he has been slumping and he doesn't play all the time. So Jung Ho Gong, you guys loved him this offseason. How do you feel about him now?
I don't think my opinion has changed. I want to see him play more, but I feel like his value's always been theoretical and more for his owner than anyone else in the league. Like, I don't think until we see him playing every day, he really has trade value. But at the same time, I know there's enough upside there that I don't want to drop him either. So I think you just have to sit on him. That's kind of where I am in the leagues where I own him.
Can I just say, and I know that the All-Star break is a good time for you to adjust your rankings, Heath and Al having Jung Ho Gong ahead of Francisco Lindor and Ian Desmond in Roto is the most hilarious thing I've seen all month, like by far, if not all year. That is ridiculous. That
needs to change. Al does hate Francisco Lindor.
But even Al is like, I think I was wrong about Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Get a clue, guys.
Yeah.
It's time.
I might drop Jung Ho Gong down two spots. I'm leaving him ahead of Trevor Story.
Now, you both have Lindor ahead of Gong in points leagues, but not in Roto. So I'll give you that at least. Might have time for one more. Kyle wants to know if Carlos Martinez is about to have a big second half. I like that question.
Sure, why not? Well, I thought he was going to have a big year. He's been outstanding lately. He's going to continue through the second half, be a top 12 pitcher.
Wow.
Well, he's got strikeouts lately.
He'll be good enough. Well, the last start he had strikeouts.
Was it two starts?
I don't know. It was 11 and what, five?
Yeah, it was 7 and 7 innings against Pittsburgh and 11 and 5 and 11 innings against Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And they weren't even that good of starts, by the way. His whip was bad in both of them.
I think he'll be a top 20 pitcher the rest of the season.
All right, good job, Carlos Martinez. Last one, grade the trade from Marcus in Urbana. He says, Dear Andrew, Brendan, and Rivers, and these are the lead singers of Andrew McMahon and the Wilderness, Panic at the Disco, and Weezer. Only Chris Towers would have had a shot at that one. But he saw them in concert, so that's pretty cool. All right, he gives up Carlos Gonzalez and Junior Guerra. Carlos Gonzalez and Junior Guerra for Yoenis Cespedes and Yu Darvish.
A plus.
I'm not gonna go that high, but it's a win. I'll say.
I think I'd rather have Uranus than Cargo, and I'd much rather have you than Guerra.
I agree.
Well, then how's it not an A plus?
It's an A minus
because I've seen more lopsided trades than this. I'll go A minus. I like that.
A plus. Great job.
That's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Those are our fantasy all stars for Heath Cummings and Scott White. I'm Adam Azer. Have a great day. Talk to you later in the week.
Goodbye. Machado.